It's truly a joy once again to be here in front of everyone. Even though technically our gospel meeting ended this morning, we are blessed that even still tonight, Brother Mike Bonner has agreed to stay with us to share once again another portion of the Word of our God. We truly are grateful with all those guests that we have amongst our audience tonight. We hope and pray that if you have not yet done so, make sure to fill out one of those cards in front of the pew, behind the pew in front of you, because we would love to keep in contact with you. And if you have any questions concerning what will be taught tonight or about the Bible, please ask those questions, and we would truly enjoy beginning a biblical conversation with you. As we already know, Brother Mike Bonner is one of the elders and the preacher there at the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas. And our brother has been gracious enough to impart God's Word to us in its purest form. Thus, we really don't have to give much of an introduction other than to say, Brother, preach the truth.
When I was asked to bring forth another lesson, I said, sure. And I was thankful because it gives us another opportunity to be together. And when we consider the responsibility we have, encouraging one another, helping one another, blessing one another, what a blessing it is for us to spend time together. And so tonight I want to encourage us concerning the promises and the reality of those promises that God has blessed us to look forward to, and to demonstrate that the promises that God has in store for us are indeed real. If you will, turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation. To the Bible student, we know that this is a book of victory. We win. I can't stress that enough, that we win. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. May the Lord have the blessing on those who read, study, and apply his word. When we consider John the Revelator being on the isle that is known as Patmos, John was in the kingdom. John was in the spirit on the Lord's day. I find it very interesting that when you're studying the book of Revelation, that you have to understand the language as it relates to it being in a figure, symbolic. We see that in Revelation 1 verse 1. But I also find it very interesting that John, who understood where he was on the isle called Patmos, saying in verse number 9 that I, John, both your brother and companion, notice in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. There was a reason why he was on the isle called Patmos. And it was because of the testimony of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. I find it also interesting that when you consider the language of Revelation 1, verse number 10, you see something very specific. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Four times you find that language, in the Spirit. In Revelation 4 and verse number 2, we find this language. In Revelation 4 and verse number 2, immediately John says, I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Here, John is able to peer into the throne room of God. Has to be something miraculous, because no one can peer into heaven. As far as we can see is into the space, but no one can see the land of the unseen. No one can see Hades. No one can see the throne room unless it was shown to him by revelation. It was miraculous. So we see that language. Look at Revelation 17 in verse number 3. In Revelation 17 in verse number 3, we take notice of something again. So he carried me away, John being carried away by one of the angels, verse 1, in the Spirit, where? Into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast. Find it very interesting that that scarlet beast in verse number 18 would be the great city. That's not really what we want to deal with. We want to deal with John being in the Spirit, in a miraculous state. And also in Revelation 21, and look at verse number 9 and 10. Again, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride. Well, who is the bride according to this, Brother Johansson? The Lamb's wife. Oh, friends, did you see that? Here, John is able to see the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away, notice, Brother Bryson, in the Spirit. This is miraculous. This is not something that you and I will experience. This is something that John was experiencing. To a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. It's powerful. Four passages in the Spirit, only used in this particular context concerning John in the miraculous. We stop and we consider this great context in Revelation 9 and verse number 17. Here the Bible demonstrates to us that what John is actually seeing, which I truly believe because of conclusion, is the crux of how to understand the book. In verse number 17, and thus I saw the horses in the what? In the vision. I put a little note in my Bible, the key to understanding. John, what are you seeing? I'm seeing vision after vision after vision. Too many times the denominational world takes this language and they make it literal. But you can't make it literal because of Revelation 1 verse number 1. Because of Revelation 9 verse 17. So forth and so on. John, what are you seeing? I'm seeing snapshots of visions as God is showing me through Jesus Christ, through the angel, and telling me to write these things down so we can peer into the very mind of God. And so, what are you learning, John? I'm learning of some great promises that God has blessed us to have. And I said all of that to say this. Brethren, God has left us some great promises. And we win regardless of what takes place in this life. Amen. I want us to look at the very first promise. Number one, God promises us in the book of Revelation a new home. Yes, we love it here in the United States of America. I love my country. I love it in San Angelo, Texas. I love people in San Angelo. I love people here in San Antonio, Texas. But I'm looking forward, as you are, to a new home. In Revelation 21, verses 1 through 3, John says something again by inspiration. In Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15, you have the judgment scene, and now everything that is defiled is gone. Now, what is left? Now I saw a new heavens, a new heaven, and a new earth. Why? For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. Friends, the very thing that we're seeing right now, we won't see ever again. Isn't that beautiful? That is a promise that God has made. And remember, the theme of the book of Revelation is we win. Then I, John, in verse number 2, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. Not the Jerusalem in Palestine, Brother Obed. The New Jerusalem. The spiritual Jerusalem. The glorified church. And make no mistake about it, the church is a beautiful entity. It's the bride of Christ, but it's not in its glorified state yet. But one day it will be. Coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And notice what John said. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Friends, did you see that, brothers and sisters in Christ? Jesus said in John 14 in verse 1 through 3, Brother Phil and I was talking about this at lunch, and I appreciate that he goes to prepare a place for us. Literally in the Greek, he goes to prepare rooms for us, meaning there's space for us. There is a place for us, God. That's a promise that he has made for us. Oh, the homeless man today can obey the gospel and know that he has a place in heaven waiting for him. And even though we're pilgrims down here, I'm reminded of what Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and verse number 13, that we are looking for that place where righteousness dwells. Friends, this is this place right here that we're talking about. What a blessing to know that if I just do what I need to do, turn to 2 Peter 3 and verse number 11, and I'll meet you there in a minute. If I do what I need to do as it relates to being faithful to Almighty God, I'll be able to be in that new heaven and new earth where righteousness dwells. Literally, when you consider it, it is the only place where righteousness dwells. Even though the church of Christ is on the face of the earth in every locale in the world, friends, the church of Christ still has to contend with unrighteousness. We still have to contend with sin. But one day we don't have to worry about sin. That's another point. We'll get to that. We're going to be in that place where righteousness dwells. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 11, notice the exhortation. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, he's talking about the old heaven, the old earth. God is going to burn it up. He's going to burn it up with fervent heat. We don't have to worry about that place anymore. Since all these things will be dissolved, liquefied, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Friends, did you see that? Notice the exhortation because of the promise. The exhortation that if you want to live with God and be in this new heaven and this new earth, there is a way that you must conduct yourself. There's a behavior that God desires for us to have. It's a holy behavior. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 16, to be holy, even as I am holy. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 10, the Hebrews writer says something about this great place called the New Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, our great ancestor, Abraham, was looking forward to this place. Here, the Bible demonstrates in verse number, let's start at verse number 8 and get some of the context. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he called to go out to the place which he would receive an inheritance, or as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Watch this. For he waited for the city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. That's heaven, brethren. Are you looking forward to that place? I believe that y'all are, because you're here tonight. Looking forward to that new heaven, that new earth, the bride, the Lamb's wife, the glorified church. When we stop and we consider the song that we sing, Home of the Soul, that's definitely the home of the soul. Point number two. This new heaven and new earth, Brother Johansson, requires a new body. This body, because of sin and because of sickness and pain and death, it's going to the dirt. You remember when Eve partook of that fruit and gave it to Adam and he ate? And the Bible demonstrates to us in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12 that he brought sin into the world. But what was passed down to man? Death. Sin wasn't passed down. Death was passed down. That's why, that's little Luke, is that right? That's his name? Luke is not a sinner. Sin wasn't passed down from his mother and father. But death was. You will die one day, unless the Lord comes back first. That's what was passed down. Death. But one day we don't have to worry about that. In Romans 8, verse number 23 and 25, we understand that there is a new body that we're longing for. For why should we long for something and hope for something that's not going to take place or that we have already? We're longing for that new body. Notice Romans 8. When you consider, and Brother Obed and I have been talking about Romans 8 for the last 2 days, and it just keeps coming up. It's so rich. We shouldn't make Romans 8 so tough, so difficult to understand. But notice what he says in verse 23. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, the apostles, we're groaning within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption. What is the adoption, the apostle Paul? It's the buying back of our bodies. It's the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with what? With perseverance. Friends, we're waiting for that new body. The same body as we discussed on this morning in 1 John 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. The body that Jesus had. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 21. In John chapter 21, I wish I had till midnight to preach, but I don't. I got to get home. But in John 21, I find it very interesting that the same John that said, we don't know what we're going to be like, but we're going to be as he is. And everyone that has this hope within him purifies himself just as he is pure. But in John chapter 21, verses 1 through 7, with the emphasis being on verse number 7, we find it very interesting that John is writing, and the Bible says, therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, is it the Lord? Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garments, for he had removed it and plunged it into the sea. When you think about all of this here, John saw Jesus after his resurrection. But John says, Brother Albert, that we don't know what we're going to be like, but we're going to be as he is. So something changed from the time Jesus was raised from the dead and ascended on the cloud and went up back to glory. Something changed. But we're going to be different. It's not going to be this. It's going to be different. It's going to be a glorified body. It's going to be a new body. It's a body, Sister Evelyn, that doesn't have to contend with sin. It's a body that doesn't have to be racked with cancer.
It's a body like that doesn't need glasses like the Jehovah's Witnesses have on their little pamphlets, them being in heaven with their glasses on. They don't understand. Look it up. They're in heaven and they got glasses on. That's odd. No, that's false. Because the new body is not going to have any problems. Why? Because the new body, go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 42 through 44. When we consider the new body, it's a body that pleases the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, 38. It's a body that's going to be changed. It's a body that's going to be celestial or terrestrial. When we stop and we consider verses 42 to 44, notice what the Bible says. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, is raised a what? Spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. Guess what type of body you're going to have, friends? You're going to have a spiritual body. It's a new body that's going to live in a new place. It's going to be a timeless body. It's going to be an eternal body. It's going to be a body that pleases the Lord. And no wonder, friends, can you imagine having a body of the sky? That's the type of body we're going to have. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse number 1, notice what the Apostle Paul says here by inspiration. He says something about this eternal home, this house not made with hands. This is a promise, friends. For we know, he didn't say we guessed, he didn't say we thought, he didn't say we hope. He said we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, where? Eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, designed to be clothed. Listen to the language, friends. With our habitation, which is from where? From heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall be found naked. For we who are in this tent, in this temporary body, Brother Johansson, this is temporary. Sometimes we're doing all that we can to keep the temporary, to make it eternal, but it's going to die. It's going to grow weak. But that celestial body, that new body rather, is going to be a body that will never die. It's going to house the soul. Wow. Which means when you consider those who are in Abraham's bosom right now, Lazarus, who is in Abraham's bosom, is bodiless right now. He doesn't have a body right now. He's naked right now. But one day he will be clothed. What are you going to be clothed with, Lazarus? Let's keep reading. Let's see. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed. That mortality may be swallowed up by what? Here it is. By life. What are we going to be clothed with? We're going to be clothed with life. That's a promise, friends. What are you going to be clothed with? I believe you're going to be clothed with life too, because you're faithful to God. Now notice what he says in verse 5. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee, or given us the earnest of the Spirit, the correct translation. You stop and you consider this, friends. That's a powerful passage. This new body that we're looking forward to is a body that's going to be spiritual. So there's a new home that's called the new heavens and the new earth. It's a new body. It's going to be a spiritual body. Don't have to worry about this anymore, friends. But number 3, no longer will we be surrounded by sin. Go to Revelation 21. If you notice, we read verses 1 through 3 earlier. And I stopped there on purpose because verse number 4 was for a different point. Brother Omari French said something one time that I really appreciate and I keep in the back of my mind. You got to have the right
passage for the right point. Here's the right passage for this point. No longer being surrounded by sin, eternal separation from sin in Revelation 21 verses 4 through 8. Notice what God is going to do. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The implication there is that when those who are faithful to God have the privilege of being with God, apparently there's going to be some tears, and God is going to say, no, no, not here. No tears in heaven. No sorrows given. That's a song, right? But notice what he goes on to say. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. Why? For the former things have passed away. Friends, did you hear that? Did you read that, brothers and sisters in Christ? That's powerful. Some brethren say that this is the church. It can't be the church because people are still dying. People are still sorrowful. People are still crying. People still have pain. So therefore, there has to be something in the future. It's the glorified church. But look at verse number 8. We don't have to worry about sin if we overcome. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Friends, we don't ever have to worry about sin after this is over. That's a promise. Don't you get tired of sin? Don't you get tired of contending with people who want to lie to you all the time? Aren't you tired of all of the propaganda? There's no propaganda in heaven. There's no agendas in heaven. The only thing that's going to be in heaven is the righteousness of God. And everything associated with God will be there in heaven. In Revelation 22, in verse number 3, if you take notice of that verse, notice what the Bible here demonstrates. In heaven, and there shall be no curse, no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. It's interesting that there will be no more curse. What curse? The curse of death. You don't have to worry about dying. What a great promise God has given us. And the reality of the promise is so powerful. Put in your notes, we don't have time to go over it. 1 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10. 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 through 4. All of these works of the flesh, we don't have to worry about being tempted. James 1 verses 12 through 15. We don't have to be like Lot and being worried about being vexed in the spirit. 2 Peter chapter 2 verses 4 through 11. We don't have to worry about those things. We have escaped that. It's a promise. And so my encouragement to you is keep hanging in there and doing what is right. Keep doing the will of God. Keep knowing that you have a new home, a new body, and you don't have to worry about sin. Those 3 points right there. But I have one more point. I didn't come this far just to give you 3 points. I got another point that I need to give you. Because when we stop and we consider this, we have the responsibility as the people of God to walk in wisdom so other people can see Christ, the hope of glory living in us. But number 4, we'll be in the presence of God. Friends, did you get that? There's a new heaven and a new earth. That's our new home. We'll have a new body. We don't have to worry about this physical flesh. It'll be a body of the sky. We don't have to worry about sin because God will take care of all of that. But lastly, which is my favorite, will be in the presence of Almighty God. In Revelation chapter 22. Now, I think this is probably one of my favorite passages as it relates to the hope that I have. Here the Bible says, they shall see his face. You remember in Exodus 33 verses 18 through 20 when Moses was talking to the Lord and he said, Lord, show me your glory.
And the Bible demonstrates to us that God put him in a cleft of the rock and he showed him his glory. He showed him his goodness. He showed him his mercy. He showed him his grace. When you think about the presence of God, think about the fruit of the Spirit. Here we understand something very powerful, that no one has ever seen God's form, his shape, John 5:37. But this passage here says that we shall see his face. We shall be in his presence. What will we be doing in heaven? Verse number 3, we will be serving God. What will we see in heaven? We'll see his face. What will we have? We'll have his name upon our foreheads. Identity. Friends, did you get that, brothers and sisters in Christ? We stop and we think about being in the presence of God. Praise be to God. Ephesians 3:20-21. Christ is receiving glory. God is receiving glory in the church. Christ is in the church even today. But one day we'll be with God the Father and the Lamb. What a blessing that John was able to peer into the throne room. Brethren, do you understand the gravity of that? One day we don't have to worry about peering, Brother C.D., into the throne room. We'll be around it. Wow! We'll be around the throne room, praising God, worshiping God. Brother Phil and I was talking at lunch, and we don't understand the gravity of that. But that's fine, we don't have to. We just got to be faithful. And when we see it, all our eyes will be open. Maybe the tears that we are going to experience is the tear of awe. Wow. Can't believe I made it. But I can. Because the Lamb led us straight to the promised land. Friends, I can't express to you the promises that God has blessed us to have. What more can we ask for? Is it worth going home being with God? I hope, pray, and trust that this has been encouraging, because there are some promises, and these promises are real. We know for a fact that we have a new place that we're looking forward to. We know for a fact that we don't have to worry about this human body. We know for a fact that we don't have to worry about sin. And we know for a fact that we're going to be in the presence of God and we're going to be serving God. And I don't know what that service is, and I don't care. I just want to be with God. Yeah. Just want to be with God. So, it's worth denying ourselves, amen? It's worth taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. It's worth buffeting our bodies. It's worth coming to spiritual functions such as these. It's worth standing for the cause of Christ. It's worth being faithful to the cause of Christ. It's just worth it. So here's the question. Are you ready for it? I'm ready for it. I'm ready to go home and be with the Lord. But I want to be here to do his will. And when he's done, then we'll go. One old preacher said one time, he said, I look at my life like a utensil. When I pick up that fork and knife and I want to stab that steak. You like stabbing steak? I like stabbing steak, I'll tell you. Stab that steak and that knife and that fork don't say, hey, what are you doing? No, just cut the steak so I can put it in my mouth. Guess what we are for the Lord? Utensils. Lord, here am I. Send me. And guess where we will end? Right where God led us, back home to God. Let's end with a word of prayer. I offer the invitation and the lesson will be yours. Great God and Father in heaven, we're thankful for a beautiful weekend.
Beautiful first day of the week. Beautiful people to be around. Your people. People of God. Father, I ask that this word of encouragement, of the promises being a reality, has helped, has encouraged, has given us something to look forward to. Sometimes, Father, we find ourselves discouraged, dismayed, and despondent. But Father, if we keep our eyes on the cross, we know it will lead us to that new home. When our bodies are broken down because of all types of illnesses, we know that we will have a new body. When sin is all around us, even in our own homes at times, we know in that heavenly home there will be no sin. It will be outside of the city. And Father, we'll get to be in your presence and see your face. Father, we're looking forward to that day. We ask that you bless this great group of people, your people, the Church of Christ here at Southeast. Bless all of them according to your will. We love you, Father, and we ask that you be with those who may not be members of your son's church here, that they'll give us an opportunity to talk with them, to encourage them, to help them, to bless them with thy word. We're thankful, Father, for this opportunity. We love you. We ask that you forgive us when we fall short. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to look forward to that new home with a new body. Don't worry about sin no more. Being in God's presence. By believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Being willing to repent of sin. Confessing Christ to be Lord and being buried in water for the remission of your sins. And God will do something amazing in your life. He will cleanse your conscience from dead works. He'll add you to the Church of Christ. He'll put you in the family of God. He'll put you on the road toward heaven. By being baptized. Being raised to walk in the newness of life. And being faithful even to the point of death. And God will give you the crown of life. Maybe a child of God and you lost focus on the new home. Lost focus on the new body. So concerned about your human body that you lost focus on the hope that we're saved in. And that is the new body. Maybe you're so focused on the sin that is around you. Maybe you're not focused on the presence of God. The very fact that you're here says that you want what is best for your life. Amen. Let's keep on doing that. And let's keep on striving for righteousness. And let's keep on encouraging one another. And let's keep on just being God's people. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.